The recent images of statues being felled and monuments defaced here and overseas has really put a spotlight on the heated debate about how we think about our history and how we teach it down the generations too. So what is happening in our schools these days when it comes to teaching Indigenous cultures and history? Are we equipping students and teachers with the knowledge to understand our past and our present? I'd love to hear what you were taught about Indigenous culture or language at school and about Australia's history with Indigenous Australians, because that early education can really shape our attitudes later on in many ways. Head to our Facebook page and join the discussion there. It is a very long and lively conversation. Melita Hogarth is with us. She's a Kamilaroi woman and the Assistant Dean Indigenous at the Melbourne Graduate School of Education. Melita, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
And Louise Zamati is with us too. She's a lecturer in Humanities and Social Sciences at the Faculty of Education at the University of Tasmania. Louise, great to have you here.
Good morning, Hilary.
Melita, how are we going when it comes to teaching Indigenous history and culture in schools right now, in your view, especially some of the more confronting parts of our history, the frontier wars, the massacres?
Well, nationwide, it's all determined by the Australian curriculum. So the Australian curriculum within the history curriculum, there's only very scattered instances where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures is actually mentioned. And so it's usually up to the classroom teacher to decide whether or not they will include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures.
And do you get a sense from your work in education of how that's happening and how often that's happening?
Within initial teacher education, which is where I work, so I'm basically teaching the teachers, there's examples being done throughout Australia, but of course, there's always room for improvement and looking for ways in which we can do it better.
And Louise, you were part of the team that worked on the history curriculum for kinder to year 10, which was introduced in stages over the last decade or so. What changes did we see then in terms of how we teach Australian history to, say, primary students in particular?
Well, one of the main changes was that we did put Australian history in the primary years explicitly. But I would just say here that it's really important to keep in mind that the Australian curriculum is a framework that is designed to unite all the states, because before we had different syllabuses and different curricula around Australia, and it gives us a more unified approach to what we're teaching. It doesn't tell us exactly what to teach. That's really up to the classroom teacher, which is just what Melita said.
And so how much flexibility is there? Are there particular subject areas that teachers are encouraged or required to teach, and within that they choose particular examples? How does it work?
Well, it does. They are given a fair bit of flexibility there, and we always encourage our teachers, well, I do certainly in Tasmania, to begin with the local. So a lot of teachers will start with their local history. So if they're in Victoria or New South Wales or Queensland, they'll start with that, because keep in mind that we're starting with year four with Australian history. First contact with Europeans is a very controversial subject, and teachers are expected to teach that to 10-year-olds. So we have an issue there where we're doing some of the most controversial and, I must say, difficult types of history with very young children. It's not being carried over into the senior years, where children are, where students are much more mature and able to deal with some of this very dark history of that we have in Australia.
And I think there are some particular resources that teachers can draw on in the secondary years. Can you tell us what kinds of books and resources they might be using to teach those difficult topics?
Well, we are supported very well with textbooks, and that's up to the publishers who recruit usually classroom teachers or academics to write those textbooks. And there are some really exciting online materials being made available to teachers. The ABC has been fantastic, providing a lot of those materials. a new game just came out about Captain Cook's voyages from an Aboriginal woman's a child's perspective, who happens to be a girl. And in Tasmania, we're in the process of developing this amazing resource called the Orb, which is prepared by Aboriginal people. So there's a lot of people, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, doing it, but Aboriginal people are the voice and at the forefront of that resource for Tasmanian schools.
Melita Hogarth, what are your thoughts if we go back a step to the framework that the curriculum provides? Should there be that level of flexibility there for teachers that Louise mentioned, so that they can adapt the curriculum to their students and their region?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult and very fine line in which to kind of walk on. You don't want to take away teacher autonomy. You want them to be able to have that flexibility to elect to do it. I think the biggest challenge is actually giving them the confidence to actually do it. As I said, you know, most teachers haven't been trained in it previously or haven't actually had it as part of their education. And so there's a lot of learning to be done.
And your work in initial teacher education would put you front and centre at that. How well do you think teaching courses are equipping future teachers, particularly, I guess, non-Indigenous future teachers who might not have had contact with those stories and those cultures?
So the University of Australia Indigenous strategy has called for Indigenous content to be within all courses. But again, that is not mandated. So there's universities that have mandatory courses on Indigenous education and others that embed it with throughout their entire degree.
Sorry, go on.
And so they there's various ways in which universities in the initial teacher education space are trying to address it.
And what do you get, Melita, of people's confidence? Are there ways that you can work on the way students feel about their ability to teach these subjects?
There are ways. There's culturally responsive pedagogies that teachers can employ, in which it looks at the students holistically and valuing the knowledge, the cultures and understandings that they actually bring into the classroom. So, but it's not used readily in Australia. So there's opportunity to further that scholarship as well.
Louise, you teach pre-service teachers as well. What do you find about their knowledge and their confidence about teaching these aspects of our history?
Well, Hilary, I have been surveying my pre-service teachers, my trainee teachers, for some years now. I ask them about how confident they are about teaching Aboriginal content and histories and cultures, and I ask them about their knowledge as well. And the survey is still going, and I'm seeing a pattern emerging that they say that they are not confident. And I agree with Melita; it's exactly what she's seeing in Melbourne. They haven't had these young teachers haven't had the teaching at school, or even some of them haven't had it in their university degrees. So when they get to me, they are, and this is in second year of their education degree, they are without a lot of knowledge about Australian history in general, not just about Aboriginal history. So they say that they're not confident. And one of the interesting things that they say makes them very anxious about teaching Indigenous history and cultures is that they don't have the knowledge and they don't want to offend Aboriginal people.
So the goodwill is there, but they lack some kind of training and resourcing that might help them take that extra step.
I've found that they're very open and very, very interested in learning about this Aboriginal histories and cultures, but they're very nervous.
Well, and if the comments on our Facebook page are anything to go by, that's not surprising to me, because it sounds like a lot of people are really struggling to find many examples of where they were taught useful, accessible, respectful examples of Indigenous history and culture in their schooling. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. Perhaps something stands out for you from your schooling about what you learned way back in the day about our shared history with Indigenous Australians. You can head to our Facebook page and leave your comment there. And with us on Life Matters are Louise Zamati, lecturer in Humanities and Social Sciences with the Faculty of Education at the University of Tasmania, and Melita Hogarth, who's Assistant Dean Indigenous at the Melbourne Graduate School of Education. Now, Mossman State School is a primary school in far north Queensland, and in 2017 they approached the local Indigenous community for help to introduce Indigenous language into its curriculum. And there's now a very successful program taught by local man Juan Walker.
Hi, my name is Juan Walker. I'm a Gugyanj man from Mossman in far north Queensland. I teach children at the school a range of different subjects, from basic introductions, how to say hello, goodbye, times of day, animals. We're starting on plants and also family members and places. The teachers get to learn a lot from the classes as well, as it's done through all grades, and the teachers are picking up language very quickly as well, which I think is really important, as it enables everyone to understand a bit about the Gugyalanji people. I think it's important programs like this to teach not just the Indigenous children, but the wider community as well, as it breaks down any stereotypes. It gives people an understanding of Aboriginal cultures and history and why we are the way we are. I think it's great for Indigenous people to share their culture and history, as it's a way of preserving it. And it also gives people understanding why we look at the environment and other people in a much more respectful way.
That's Juan Walker, who's involved with teaching languages at Mossman State School in far north Queensland. Sharon Case is the head of teaching and learning there, and she has some thoughts too on how Indigenous languages should be taught.
I think it can be very difficult for us non-Indigenous teachers to teach Indigenous history and culture authentically, because our perspectives are usually so very different. The best source for help are our Indigenous communities, who have a wealth of knowledge to share with us. Our Gugyalanji lessons are rich in local stories, culture and history, but they also contain lots of authentic Gugyalanji language based around each particular unit of work. The language units have been co-designed by Gugyalanji Elder and myself, based on the Australian Curriculum Framework for Teaching Indigenous Languages, and have all been endorsed by our local Gugyalanji Language Advisory Group, or CILAG. Half of our school's 250 students identify as Indigenous, and we wanted to empower all of our students with a greater knowledge and understanding of our Indigenous people, languages, history and culture. Our Indigenous staff members tell us that they feel valued and proud to have their language and culture taught at our school.
So, Melita Hogarth, some of what Sharon was saying there really speaks to that issue of confidence and needing the culturally appropriate resource and training for teachers. But it was also interesting what Sharon was saying about having the flexibility to be able to use that curriculum in a way in partnership with the local Indigenous community in a way that worked for their school. We're seeing some schools really embrace the teaching of Indigenous languages. But, Melita, would you like to see that broadened out? Because it seems that it is mostly at schools where there's a higher proportion of Indigenous students.
Yeah, and that's definitely usually the driving, or the driver for putting in such changes. But and that's unfortunate, because, you know, part of our role as classroom teachers is to promote reconciliation. And so in doing that, we need to educate all Australians about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures. So, yes, it'd be great if other schools, even schools that don't have any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander students, looking for ways in which they can embed Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander histories, cultures and languages.
Melita, you've been a classroom teacher working for two decades in Queensland, 10 years in a school with predominantly Indigenous kids and another 10 years in other schools. Did you feel what was taught in the curriculum then reflected what you thought children should be taught about Indigenous culture and history?
In the last 10 years, so when I was working on community, was also around the time that the Australian curriculum came out. And so we were I was actually made head of curriculum. So we worked on creating a whole of school approach, ensuring that the local knowledge within the community was also privileged, so that we can find ways in which to ensure that it wasn't just the Eurocentric Western education that was happening.
And Louise Zamati, you had a look at what some school textbooks taught children about Captain Cook from the 1920s right through to more recently. What kinds of things did you find?
Well, I found that the narrative was very focused on possession, taking possession of the land and claiming it for England. That went through from the 1920s to about the 1960s, or even to the 1970s. And then it started to broaden out in around the 1970s, where changes were happening in history research anyway. And the textbooks are starting to look at other explorers, still using the term explorers, like the Dutch and the French and that sort of thing. And we didn't start to see the narrative include the Aboriginal perspective or the Indigenous perspective until we get, well, until the time of the, say, around the late 2000s, and then especially when we get into the period of the Australian curriculum coming in.
And what happens now? Do we see terms like colonisation or invasion crop up, or is it still the narrative of possession?
Well, the narrative of possession has definitely gone out of the textbooks, and the question of the word discovery is being asked. We ask the children to consider that, and there's a whole different way of teaching history now that is taking place, where we teach children how to think historically. That's quite complex. We teach them the skills of thinking, and we teach them how to ask these questions, and so that they will get multiple perspectives of history, so that they will understand that the British definitely had a perspective on history, but that they must also acknowledge that there are other perspectives. There is the perspective of Indigenous people. How did they feel about being invaded? And we question the words invasion and those sorts of things. So it's a very different way of teaching history to what most of your listeners would have experienced when they were at school.
And you mentioned before the heated political debate that happened, particularly over the last iteration of the curriculum, whether it had enough or too much focus on, for example, Indigenous culture or Western civilization. How are educators and politicians approaching that now?
Well, as you mentioned, we're going through another revision of the Australian curriculum, so that's going to be interesting to see what is added and what is taken out. The information that ACARA has put out is that there will be less information in there. They're aiming to declutter, so it's going to be quite interesting to see what they come up with and how that is received by politicians and people in the wider community.
Indeed. Melita Hogarth, what, if anything, would you like to see come out of this review of the national curriculum?
I would like to see some more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures embedded within the curriculum. Not just elaboration. So there's two sorts of things within the education framework, and there's content descriptives, which is more or less telling teachers what they need to teach, and then there's an elaboration, so giving ideas on how to actually teach that content. Most of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures are elaborations. I'd like to see them translate into content descriptors, so making it more mandatory to look at.
Lots of potential tweaks in the massive curriculum there. Thank you both so much for joining us to further this discussion on Life Matters today.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Hilary.
Melita Hogarth is Assistant Dean Indigenous at the Melbourne Graduate School of Education at Kamilaroi Woman. Louise Zamati is Lecturer in Humanities and Social Sciences at the Faculty of Education at the University of Tasmania.